All right, part three of the podcast with Eric Tanchez is getting ready to blast into your ears. Really excited to share this stuff with you. Great conversation. I remember being in this conversation and thinking in the moment, wow, I'm having a great interview and we're really talking about some really interesting stuff. I do believe the topic of spirituality and its intersections with folks that are of the LGBT plus community come up, which I think was fascinating. I, as a Christian, try to really back off pushing him into exploring that particular religion, knowing how much that hurts. But in just getting him to open up and talk about spirituality a little bit more, I thought was a really interesting part of our conversation. And that was real natural and free-flowing. Again, if you're enjoying the podcast or any past episodes, please subscribe to us on Google Play and on iTunes. Also, subscribe to the Facebook page, The Inclusive Activism Podcast, and you will be in a position where you know you won't miss an episode, which I appreciate very, very much. Also, those reviews make a huge difference for us, too, so please give us a review and let us know what you're thinking of the podcast. Those five-star reviews go a long, long way to make sure that this podcast is visible by others that care about diversity and inclusion and also want to enhance their own form of personal leadership. Without any further ado, though, let's get back into that interview with Eric. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about, so again, with the podcast specifically, it's looking at diversity and inclusion work as a form of personal leadership. Like, how have you, like, learned, grown, done some certain things? So I'm really trying to focus a lot of my attention towards people that care about D&I work.
Right.
But then I'm also trying to get to leadership folks, because I've just learned and grown so much from this stuff.
Yeah.
So what is a D&I topic, diversity inclusive topic, that you feel like you communicate exceptionally well?
Let's see. Well, first of all, I definitely have to say more of my personal identities, being queer, being brown, Latinx. Yep. I definitely can relate to mass incarceration issues just because I've had a lot of my family members locked up, you know, like I can relate to a lot of those issues and how have they come out and they're not emotionally stable and things like that. But some of the, like I said, the other ones that I know that I can officially talk about, privilege.
Yeah.
I like talking about introspectively of those things and talk about whiteness. I think that I talk about colorism.
Yeah. Things I'm still trying to wrap my arms around whiteness.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I've seen people that do it well.
Uh-huh.
I have a returning adult student that came through my program about 2 years ago.
Right.
And he just owns his whiteness really well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that, I think that's a really helpful way of, like, doing it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, you know, with that whole positive masculinity thing, I'm trying to get my arms around, you know, masculinity, maleness,
and communicate that stuff. I'm very passionate about the masculine, talking about toxic masculinity, but also, too, talking about, like, how we're supposed to be using it in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, those are very, very, like, things that, like, I hold within my heart, you know?
Yeah.
Even just from, like, handshakes. Like, I, like, get pissed off when men squeeze the shit out of my hand.
Right.
It drives me up the wall.
But I'm trying to socialize it into, like, you know, the handshake hug thing. Like, you can do that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong with those things.
Right.
Like, and I think, you know, with me and my identity and with the way I look, when I show and perform that stuff, when I say I love you, like, it's a little bit easier for people to see that because it's hard to take my masculinity away.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. So, and that's hard for a lot of men in the gay community to take away, too. Like, I could talk about masculinity in the gay community for hours.
Yeah.
But some of the things also, too, is body image. Like, being fat and being the size that you are and things like that, and how that showcased privilege, too, as well. Just because a lot of it, too, I've been big my whole life, you know, and it's there's been good positive about me and like, oh, you're big enough to play football.
Right. And you play rugby, right?
I play rugby, yeah.
Yeah.
And I found a little resilience in that,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
in that sports and just being comfortable with my own body. But it's just also, too, being a queer male or a genderqueer person in this. I'm still trying to get used to my new identity.
Yeah, and too, you know, there's still folks that are pretty new to this. I may have a lot of folks that are also listening to this that came from a day where queer was a derogatory term.
Right.
So just defining genderqueer as far as your understanding, again, I'm not going to put the pressure on you to do this perfectly, but how do you define it for you?
So it's more of a political statement for myself. The way I see it, it's more of a decolonization of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Of I'm not a man, I'm not a woman. I don't think masculinity belongs to men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think femininity belongs to women,
mm-hmm.
type thing. And so I'm just this soul,
mm-hmm.
that's in a vessel.
Yeah.
And I both intake masculine, feminine,
mm-hmm.
traits.
Yeah.
You know, and like also too, the misogyny and the patriarchy of what it is to be a man, you
yeah.
know, like, I mean, there's still a lot of conversations with myself. But I still identify with that community just because I'm passing as a man,
right.
you know, and
yeah.
I still want to hold men in the Latinx community, you
yeah.
know, accountable, but all men in general too. Like I still, even though I'm genderqueer, but I also still identify a lot part with men,
mm-hmm.
as well, just because of my upbringing and
right.
what it is to be brown and Latinx. Like you have to be a man and
yes,
things
the
like
deep socialization into it.
Ah, the machismo-ness and
yes.
You know, the hard-assness, like, of it, too,
yeah.
as well. So, I just, like, it's a lot of that stuff. And then, one that I'm actually becoming more passionate about, and I was just talking to my friend about it, we're both, you know, both Latinx people. You know, as I was going to the post-inaugural,
yeah.
you know, I was like, you know, I think about myself, there's an expectation of being a Latinx person.
Yeah.
Having to know Spanish and things like
yeah.
that. My rational mind is that I do want to learn Spanish, but I
yeah.
don't because it's not the chosen language that my people
right.
were given.
You
and
want to use the indigenous?
I think that as a Latinx person,
yeah.
I feel like my community needs to own that.
Yeah.
We don't.
It's true.
And it pisses me off that it's like we're so... Yes, like I'm happy that we are so happy to be in ourselves and
yeah,
being in the culture. Like, but I think there needs to be some acknowledgement of that we come from indigenous culture too.
Well, and when you were talking about the decolonization of being between like the perceived binary of
uh-huh.
male female,
yeah,
decolonization is a process. I mean, in my native communities,
uh-huh.
we talk about it a good amount because. There's a need to return back to our usness and like more systemic ways of being in balance.
Right.
Like as a native person, you can't have an out of balance system.
Mm-hmm.
One of the favorite analogies that I've shown with this is like when they reintroduce wolves into Yellowstone Park, it actually changed the way
mm-hmm.
waterways
yeah.
were designed.
Right.
Like the actual rivers changed when
right.
wolves got brought back into balance.
Right.
Which shows you just how out of balance like small out of balances can make things just so bad.
Right.
But we have a little bit more conversations on decolonization.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that's hard to talk about. And two, I think in whiteness, where is there an opportunity for whiteness and decolonization? Because the concepts are so closely tied together.
Right.
And how do you decolonize a white person?
Right.
You know, it's
go back to your
challenge.
European.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. You get back to your ethnicity, right? Your ethnicity-ness. But then there was such a tradition in certain ones.
Right.
You know, in certain ethnic identities of colonization. So, like, how do you celebrate your Englishness while decolonizing
right.
yourself from your Englishness?
Yeah.
You know,
it's just
complicated.
You know, I love Latinx culture. I love
yeah.
our food. I love our music.
Yeah.
My dad's from Guatemala. And he talks about a lot of the good stuff that's happening there and
yeah.
you know, growing up and the not so great stuff and why he came to America and things like that. But
yeah.
I always talked to him. I was like, he's told me we have indigenous family members
mm-hmm.
that still live there. And I'm actually more intrigued to learn about that
yeah.
versus my actual Guatemalan culture.
Right.
But I feel like I get a lot of, I guess, like internal impression,
yeah.
internalized impression in that within myself. Like, well, you're, that's the past, and like
mm-hmm.
you know, even when we do identity walk, when they say if you belong to or identify with Indigenous, First Nation, you know, Native American, it's like, Brown needs to be walking in that.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Well, not like that.
Well, let's widen that out, too. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, I think part of that activity is also trying to think beyond your societal identifiers.
Wow.
You know, John Trudeau is a Native American poet, and one of the things he talked about was, man, like, everybody came from a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
What person did not come from a First Nation space? Mm-hmm. You know? And I mean, granted, it says Native American, so it isn't necessarily Indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, part of our problem is we got away from being small groups of collectives where you get empathetically connect to everyone. And it's funny because, you know, there's the problem of, like, whiteness in Native spaces, too. Because, and I've gotten to the place where I've really just owned it more.
Right.
Like, because there's a real pushback in my community of, like, trying to, like, disown anyone that looks white-ish.
Yeah.
I passed, so I get that quite a bit. And I also don't have Native experience.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see holistically more people connect to that Indigenous tribal nature of the human experience, because I'd like to see that as a way to get us back to where we might be living more sustainably.
Right.
So, I mean, my goal would be everybody steps in for that, because they can truly connect and belong to that idea.
Yeah. As much as, like, and I could say, like, what's going on with, like, ICE and, like, undocumented issues and stuff, like, but we're also supposed to be supporting our Indigenous folks at, you know, the Dakota Access Pipeline, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're as much as part of them as well.
Yeah.
But I also want to, like, focus and, like, re-emphasize on leadership, too, and, like, in diversity is solidarity.
Oh, actually, I still want to get to that, because there's one more idea I want to get to before I get there. What do you think is a topic that relates to diversity and inclusion that's just really hard for you, or that you just, like, struggle with?
Yeah. I struggle with religion.
Okay.
And the concepts.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Like, I guess the ideologies and the doctrines and stuff still, like, affect me, like, personally, you know? And it's a personal issue, you know, like, that I have, like, with religion. It's not, like, it is also fundamental, too. But I think if it's on a list of things, it's a very personal issue, because I was ostracized out of a religion just because of my identity.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, the whole foundations, a lot of religions are the same, you know?
Yeah.
Christianity, for instance, like, you know, my mother, she's Jehovah's Witness, and,
I'm so sorry. Like, all this, like, realization of your experience is washing over me in this moment, so,
you know, now I look at, like, all the books that they teach young people, and, like, the videos and things like that, like, marriage needs to be between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Even, like, with, like, friends that have allies who still believe in that concept, it's like, those little, like, things still does not turn me on to religion in a way. And I honestly say I do have prejudice against religion. And it's stuff, even with my friend's religion that's Baha'i, you know, with that, even that, like, that's a peaceful religion. Like, all religions are peaceful, you know?
Yeah.
That's a concept that I had to wrap my head around. It took long time that all religions are peaceful, you know? It's hard. It's like, I was conditioned my whole life, you know? These are things that we have to live under and abide, and I did not fit in those categories, you know? And I was pushed out a lot by people that I thought I loved, and people that supposedly loved me, and when they found out about my identity, I think about even the religion, like, when you sin, or after you're baptized and you're sinned, you do something, and, like, the elders of the congregation find out, you are disfellowed, you have to sit your ass in back, and you cannot communicate with people. And then until you repent and you pray and you meet with the elders, they will announce it in front of the whole congregation and say, oh, so-and-so has repented and he's back now in the congregation.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things also, like, I wish I was Catholic. I feel like it would have been a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I have trouble, like, with, like, my own culture and being Latinx. Like, I kind of wish I was in, like, Catholicism, because even with the Jehovah's Witness culture, like, yeah. I felt like I lost a sense of identity too.
Mm-hmm.
With being in that religion, like, everyone yeah. was their own identities, but it was more of a colorblindness identity.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like missing out on Catholicism, like, yeah. I missed out on that Latinx culture
yeah.
Of my life. I mean, there's other things, like, I have my own will
mm-hmm.
and things that I have just in case I die, or yeah. like, if I'm in a very, like, bad situation where I need blood. My mom, because I'm single and
yeah.
I don't have a partner, and uh-huh. I scared my mom's gonna tell no blood.
Right, when you still live.
Yeah. Even though she knows that what my views are and stuff yeah. like that, that stuff, like, scares the shit out of me. And, right. like, you know.
Resuscitate.
Right,
yeah.
you know. So, like, I don't have a very positive enlightenment of religion. And yeah. so, although I think all religions are peaceful, a yeah. lot of them I think are hateful, too. You know?
And, well, the problem with religions is the people. right?
Right.
Which is the dynamic awesome part. It's also the difficult part. Mm-hmm. Again, if you don't have an interest, I completely respect, because of your identity, why uh-huh. you might not want to look at this book at all.
Uh-huh.
But my friend in San Diego that runs that church,
mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called Unclobber,
mm-hmm.
and went through the specific passages in the Bible that talked about, basically, there's passages he said that were used to clobber LGBT+ folks
right.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back, looked in the Greek, tried to look contextually at some of those things and what was happening, because he needed to reconcile his faith. Because, I mean, how can you put part of a peaceful, good religion that excludes mm-hmm. an identity, right? If sin's really there, right, like, then I should have, you know, I should be like, oh, I want Eric, you know? But I don't have this unction,
yeah.
like, I don't have this feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know? Why would sin be conditional? Like, I've been angry, I can see the lure of killing. Like, I
right.
lied, I've stolen, like, I've done, you know,
mm-hmm.
God, I've done everything.
Right.
But, like, I've never been like, oh, you know, I really like to lay with a man, right? Like, it's just not part of me.
Yeah.
Why would we be born with a conditional sin? Like, it's just weird. But he goes through and kind of, like, unplugs some of that stuff. And I only mention it because, you know, you'll find yourself in those spaces. And knowing that there's allies and advocates, you know, I'm really trying to use my Christian privilege to and understanding that a little bit more. So I'd read a
yeah.
book about Christian hegemony. And then I read the Unclobber. But if you want to feel maybe that connection or know that, like, there's people doing that type of work, it's something I wanted to offer to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've taken the deep dive to understand as well. Like, if you don't want to, I completely honor and understand
no,
your experience too.
In my work, though, I feel like I need to. I think that's something since I was 18, pushed off, you
yeah.
know? I think there's a deep sense of spirituality that's still in me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's
yeah,
still needs,
talking about this. Yeah.
yes, that still needs to be tapped, you
yeah.
know, I think within myself. I'm just like an energy holistic person, you know, like, I believe in the sense that you can't get rid of energy, it just gets transferred somewhere else,
yeah.
you know.
Unless you deal with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so, I mean, I don't think I'd ever get involved with an organized faith or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
but I think,
really
yeah, I guess what I struggle more is, I guess, in the realm of social justice and adversity,
mm-hmm.
it's like, how are you still doing this work when you know there's these things that are happening within the walls and
mm-hmm.
and things like that? And so I struggle a lot with that. It's not that I question, but it's like, one of my students who believes in colorblindness,
mm-hmm.
and that's in our social justice club, well,
mm-hmm.
if you can't get over this colorblindness hurdle,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to do this work?
Right.
And I don't know if there's, like, the work of social justice or, like, diversity or anything like that. If we need to have set standards. I don't want to have set standards or anything like that. But those are my personal conflicts. So it's like, how are you still doing this work if you, you know?
Well, I think with that, too, like, gosh, that's where I try to look inwardly at my flaws,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like,
yeah.
I still socialize men into masculinity.
Right.
Toxic masculinity is what I'm used to. I still, you know, my hetero-ness makes me so blind and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blind. My ability stuff, right? I'm trying to change my vernacular to use the word invisible.
Ouch.
I know. But right? Like, you don't hate me because I made my blind thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
More so I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed that it was there. We try to do better and move on. But I see a lot of folks that try to practice perfectionism in this work.
Yeah.
And it's not a perfect work.
It's not. And
it's flawed and it's messy.
Right. And that's where I struggle. But then it really comes down to like a selfish personal vendetta I have against religion.
Yeah.
Mainly Christianity, you know.
Of course.
You know, as far as, you know, like all forms of Christianity. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Even like when I see like within my own like queer community, when they say, oh, it's a church of hope.
Yeah.
It's an LGBT church,
yeah.
You know. But I was like, but y'all still sin. And if they sin, you're still excluding people. It's still just like, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it, you know. But I tell you, I've made progress again, trying to come around, learning the idea that all religions are peaceful.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a concept that I did not believe in for a long time. But more and more just being open to like hearing, you know, and like in the work that I'm doing right now, again, I'm saying, I'm trying to listen to the Trump supporter and find a common ground with them.
Yeah.
That's what's been helping me in this too, is just finding my common ground in this work, trying to talk about religion.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely defend like the privilege and in religion, like what this country is like.
Yeah.
You're a Christian. Like,
yes. I know. It's a hard one to swallow and even more difficult to own because it's not, you don't see it so much so often.
Right.
But some of the things that help me, because I have to reconcile my faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as hard as it is for you to believe it,
right,
I have to take it, listen to you, hear you, and then find a way to like make that still work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to different spaces.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to do a lot of like work with listening to Buddhist thought because it's very non-binary.
Right.
Like now we're looking at spectrum things. Like Buddhists see things in more of a spectrum way, which is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the mosque yesterday. Like, sadly, this is my first visit into a mosque.
Wow.
But
I'm just kidding, Roddy.
Hey, so I want to own it, right? But it was nice to be there because, you know, when you were talking about sin and stuff, like, I think they strive for a connection to God. Because, like, I think the notion of sin is like separation from the connection of like true love for all people.
Right.
So it's not like you suck. It's more that you got distracted from the ability to just love each person
for
the individual they are. And so if you can be closer to this God notion, that you can be closer to this true, like, I don't want to use brotherhood, but humanhood love that we can have between each other. And two, in my experience, is that without some type of like model or thing there for forgiveness, like Christianity helps me with forgiveness like so much because I have so much that I have to be forgiven for. And even when I make a mistake like next week, I know like I was like again with my paradigm, I'm forgiven for that. Like how can a God that knows all things not know I was going to mess up next week like or tomorrow or that I was going to say the blind thing right now?
Right.
You know, it helps me. It gives me patience with those things. Again, I would never sell you on it, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, having, like, that Muslim perspective on Christianity of, like, connection, right? That it's more about connection.
Right.
That Ramadan's not a denial. It's a connection to God that should be important. It helps me with those things, and it, like, like helps heal me or see new paths to stuff. But again, you know, if it's something you never get to, like, that's fine, too. More so, just stay connected with your experience of whatever you see and feel is divine.
Yeah.
I think there's power in that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I said, I see that with all religions. And like I said, it's something I'm willing to work on.
Yeah.
And continue to learn more and more versus what the textbook of what they're teaching us in school. You know?
Right. Yeah.
All right, some good stuff there. I really appreciated that conversation. I think we were here for about 2 hours, so we'd gotten incredible detail. The dogs had kind of hang out and had a really nice time with us, and so there is only one more part to go with this, so I'm hoping to get that posted in the next few days. So with that, if this made you think, if you had some interesting thoughts or reflections, remember that you can always get a hold of us at 860-576-9393. That again, that voicemail line is 860-576-9393. That's how you talk to me on the podcast. That's how I talk to you. It's how we kind of create community. I'm very excited about that. And so please give us a voicemail, rate and review us on iTunes. Also, subscribe on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, or your pod server of choice. That's how you're going to make sure you don't miss an episode, and really appreciate all the work that me and my producer Sarah put into this podcast. So again, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get back to you next week with part four of the final part of this series with Eric Tanchez and myself. Thank you. We'll be right back.